So I've had a cough the last couple days, so if I have to stop and drink some water, that's why. So, when do you pray? When is it appropriate to pray? When is it easy to pray? And when is it hard for you to pray? And when should we pray? On Sundays, right? It's the perfect time for prayer. We pray at the start of our services for mornings and evenings. We pray at the end of our services a few times during communion before we do the offering. Sometimes we pray before the lesson. And those are all great times to pray, I'm sure we all know, but I don't think those are the only times to pray, and I'm sure most of you would agree with me. So, back to my initial question, when do you pray? About 2.5 years ago, I was out of college and looking for a job. I had student loans that I had to start making payments on soon, and not nearly enough money to even think about the first one. And during that time, I prayed a lot. I prayed for guidance, I prayed for a job, I prayed that God would in some way ease my troubles. And I was really struggling, and at that point in time, it was obvious for me that I needed God. So I prayed to him. I also prayed about other things, like helping the sick and the needy, world peace, all those other good things. But the main focus of most of my prayers were for me to get a job or in some way a solution to this kind of looming threat of these the student debts I had to start paying back. And so I sent out a ton of applications. I prayed over all of them. And before I realized it, God had lined me up with the perfect job. It's a help desk position, which I already have experience in. It's with a wonderful Christian company where I can spend my day amongst other believers. And truly, it was an answer to my prayer. God gave me, the direction I needed. He gave me everything I needed at that moment. And once I got hired, my focus of my prayers shifted from, God, I need this, to God, thank you for this. Thank you, for getting me out of this situation, Lord. And then after a while, when the newness of the job faded away, I found myself forgetting to pray. I didn't have that looming fear that had prompted me into such a regular prayer schedule. And I was content with my position in life. And before long, that contentment started to slide into complacency. I had a good job, I was doing well, and I no longer had that feeling that I needed God to keep me surviving from day to day. Even though I was still going to this job that he put right before me, and I was spending all day with these other Christians, somehow in my mind I managed to push God to the back burners. And I fear that I'm not alone in that. In fact, I know I'm not alone in that. In the Bible, we can read about an entire people who went through the same cycle. It's God's own chosen people, the Israelites. The second chapter of Judges does a great job of summarizing their experiences. I'm going to go ahead and read a couple excerpts out of that chapter. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you out of Egypt. I led you into the land I swore to give your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? And why have you also... And I have also said, I will not drive them out before you. They will become traps for you, and their gods will become snares to you. The angel of the Lord had spoken all of these things to the Israelites. The people wept aloud, and they called the place Bochim. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him, and had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. I'm going to skip down a couple verses here. After that, the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. I'm going to be jumping down near the end of the chapter. We read that, "Then the Lord raised up the judges, who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. They quickly turned away from the ways of their ancestors, who had been obedient to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived, for the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who had oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more evil and corrupt than that of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways." Now, this cycle didn't just happen once or maybe twice. Generation after generation, the Israelites followed into this pattern. In times of great distress, they would reach out to God. They would cry out to him to deliver them from their troubles. And then God would come through for them. He'd raise up a judge. He'd save them. And then after a little while, they'd worship him and obey his commandments. And then all too soon, they would become complacent. They would get distracted by the worldly things, by their idols, by the other gods of the neighboring nations. And they would forget God. Then they would struggle and they would be defeated in all their battles. And at every turn, they would be struck down. Until finally, God would raise up another judge to save them, and so on and so forth, time and again. Now, I'm sure many of us have heard this story before. I know myself, growing up in the church, I've heard this cycle more than I can count in various lessons and sermons. But somehow, I still fell into that same snare. Once things were looking good in my life, I stopped focusing so much on God. I never explicitly said it, but with my actions, I was really saying, "Thanks for helping me out of that tough spot, God, but I think I got it from here. I can handle this." And with that in mind, let's revisit some of those questions from the beginning. When do you pray? When is it appropriate to pray? And when should we pray? I'd like to take a few examples out of Jesus' life. When did he pray? That's probably a good benchmark for us. The first example I want to look at is in the first chapter of Mark. Jesus had just finished calling his first disciples. He had driven out some impure spirits, and many sick had been gathered, and he had gone healing them throughout the night. And we read in verse 35 of Mark chapter 1, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went to a solitary place where he prayed." Jesus had just got finished with a pretty long day. He was getting ready for the next day, and, he had been healing well into the night, well after it was dark, it says. So he couldn't have gotten a whole lot of sleep between that and getting back up when it was still dark. But for Jesus, it was more important to get that time alone in prayer than it was to try and sneak in a little bit of sleep there. And in Luke, the sixth chapter, verses 12 and 13, we give another example. "On those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When the morning came, he called his disciples to him. He chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles." Here we see Jesus is about to make a pretty big decision, a decision that would shape the first generations of the church and that even affects us all the way out today. And before he makes that decision, he takes his time in prayer. And there's a third example I want to go ahead and read. And that's in Mark the sixth chapter, verses 45 and 46. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up to a mountainside to pray. Now let's put this one into context a little bit. What's been happening earlier in this day for Jesus? Well, we know that he learned that John the Baptist had been executed. His apostles had just gotten back from the first missions that he'd sent them out to, and they'd begun to report what they'd done and what they'd seen on this journey, but they didn't have much time because the crowds recognized them and started gathering around them. And so Jesus started teaching the crowds. He had to kind of, you know, put his personal conversations on the side there and started teaching them. And eventually it had started getting late and they needed food. And so instead of sending everyone away, Jesus went and fed everyone, 5,000 men that we know are numbered there. Now that's a bit of a stressful day, I'd think. It's a lot packed in there. And so what does Jesus do at the end of that stressful day? Goes and finds himself a solitary place on the side of a mountain, and he prays. In all of these examples, we find Jesus purposely taking time out of his day. It doesn't say he had a couple extra hours before dinner, so he went to go pray. No, he deliberately took his time out and went and prayed in all of these circumstances. And in that first example, that's probably as close to a normal day as we really see from Jesus. You know, it does a little bit of healing, drives out some demons, talks a little bit, but not really anything extraneous per se. And he takes his time to pray on that day. And then there's a big day, a big decision that shapes so much of what's coming on. And even in his most stressful days, he always finds that time to go pray. When do you pray? When should we pray? Looking at Jesus' examples, I think the answer to those questions should be often. We should be praying in times of sickness, in times of health, in times of distress, and when things are calm and when things are finally going well. When the world seems against us, or when everything is going our way, all of these occasions are perfect times to pray. And we see this stated pretty true in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18, where it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Constant prayers keep our mind focused on what's truly important, and that's our Lord God. So if anyone wishes to seek the prayers of the congregation, you don't have to wait till Sunday evenings, but since we're here, now would be a great time to come up and can talk with Dave or one of the leaders. Or if you wish to turn your life to God, then please come forward as we all stand and sing this song.